Well, good morning. My wife assures me I'm lit up, so I think you heard me ask that. You'll see that I'm not Dave. I know he's lost weight, but he's not lost that much weight. His voice continues to give him some problems, so I had said that to make things easier, because he was worrying about today what his voice would be like, I had said that I would cover for him this morning. There are some intimations. I hope you're sitting comfortably. Right. The first one is the fire alarms showing where the emergency exits are. If you don't know that by now, where have you been? No? Tea and coffee, as usual, after the service in the hall. Then the church magazine, the December issue of the Faith and Fellowship, the church magazine, is now available for distribution, and the piles of magazines are sitting in the vestibule. Then Saturday sees the Christmas fair, and because of that, there's a short meeting at the close of worship this morning to make final arrangements for the Christmas fair next Saturday. And then to do with the Christmas fair, it's on Saturday between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Everybody is absolutely welcome. The more people there, the better for the Christmas fair. It includes a variety of stalls and a cafe, not a tea and coffee place. It's a cafe. You're getting a choice. And of course, there's Santa's Grotto from 11 to 1. But Santa's not fit enough to work from 10 till 2. He's only fit to work from 11 to 1. No? Then again, appeals still for the Christmas fair, non-perishable grocery items with the best before date of February 2020, second-hand or unwanted books, new and unused gifts, and if you have any donations, the boxes are out in the vestibule. Then on Tuesday, the guild meeting is simply preparation for the Christmas fair on Saturday. And then for the Livingston players, Tuesday the 3rd to Friday the 6th. And they're just welcoming anybody to go along. And I think it's a sellout, is that right? Sellout? No, it is indeed. Oh, there it is there. No? If I'd waited. No? Okay. I think those are all the intimations. Before we begin our service, because last Sunday we were down in Ardeer at the Remembrance Service, we haven't put our poppy wreath up here. And if you like to stand, Bobby will come forward and do that just now. This morning's call to worship I've taken not from scripture, but from a website called the On Earth Peace website. We come to this place, to this time, at the invitation of Jesus Christ. In the name of Christ, we accept the invitation to discipleship. In the name of Christ, as his disciples, we worship and praise God. In the midst of a world where cruelty abounds, we proclaim the compassion of God. In the midst of despair that threatens to swallow up whole lives, whole peoples, we proclaim the God of hope. In the midst of indifference and apathy, we proclaim the God of love. Come, let us worship together and share our witness of God's living presence in the world. We begin our worship singing, "Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven."
Soul, the King of Heaven, to
it just suddenly dawned on me during the hymn that I'd said to Alison and Finlay, the church magazine is going out, but it's a colour edition of the magazine, which costs a bit more to print other than the black and white. And in order to help sort of cover some of the costs, the Kirk Sessions agreed that we would do a sort of collection. So next Sunday, we're going to have a collection if anybody would like to give a donation towards the cost of printing the coloured magazine. Let's come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today to humbly give thanks for all you have done for us, for your unconditional, undying, never failing, endless love that graces us every day. Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity to come together as your family to worship you. We thank you that in this time of worship, we can put aside the uncertainties of the world and focus on the certainties of your kingdom. For your promises are not changeable as those of our politicians might be, but rather are immovable and eternal. We give thanks at this time of worship when we can step back from daily life and are transported from a world of concerns and fears to a place where we can be at peace in your presence and find healing and wholeness and refreshment. Creator of all, sustainer of all, saviour of all, your glory and your majesty are beyond our understanding. Lord, as we praise your name and give thanks for your many blessings to us, we know that almost on a daily basis, we shall fall short of deserving that love as we let you down in the words that come out or don't come out of our mouths, in the unkind or wrong thoughts that run through our minds, and in the things that we don't do to help spread your kingdom here in our community. Lord God, we ask that you forgive us our wrongdoings in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Saviour and Lord, as we join our hearts together in praying the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, although this is really for children, you're all children for this. What I was doing with the children down the road in Ardeer this morning was I was saying to them that not just as a child, but I'm sure all of us at some point in our life have been asked to give someone peace, or in the old Scottish phrase, gie's peace. I'm quite certain we've all been asked gie's peace. When we have been asked, or when we ask someone to give us peace, what really are we asking? Well, I suppose really what we're asking is we're asking them to give us peace, in other words, to create less noise round about us, or to stop asking the same question. I know I've still got somebody in my life who's always asking me to give peace, no? Because she says I go on and on about things. You can't imagine that. So with the children, I wanted to use the balloon to show them that, you know, if we don't have peace, peace is not just what's round about us. Peace is also within us. And if we have worries or concerns or anxieties, then that peace builds up inside us. And if we fill with anxiety and concern. I should say that I have done a risk assessment for this. And the risk assessment was that I didn't collapse blowing the balloon up, that I was fit enough to blow the balloon up. But if we've got concerns, we fill with worry and concern. And so at that point, that's the point at which we should ask God, pray to God and ask for his help. But sometimes we forget to do that. And of course, if we forget to do that, then it builds up more and more, and you've guessed the next risk assessment. It builds up to such a point that we burst with the balloon. That we burst. We feel almost fit to burst with concern and with worries. But if we pray to God, God has told us in Scripture that he'll help us. He'll help us in times when we feel that we are, the world is coming in on us and we don't know what to do. If we just take time and pray to him and ask for his help, then by doing that, our concerns that are within us will reduce, or even better still, they'll disappear. We're going to sing the hymn that talks about giving us peace. It starts, though, with "Give me oil in my lamp." This morning are taken both from the New Testament, from the Gospel of John, and from Philippians. And Susan's going to read them.
First reading is from John 14, verses 23 to 29. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it happens, you will believe." The second reading is from Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9, final exhortations. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen.
We continue our worship singing our third hymn, which is Peace, Perfect Peace is the Grace of Christ our Lord.
Thank you.
May the words that I speak and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, for we ask this for Christ's sake. Amen. You'll have gathered that by now that my theme for this morning is peace. Why peace? Well, last weekend when Dave asked if I would cover for him this morning to give his chest and voice time to improve, I immediately said to Dorothy that that was okay, but the only thing was I would need to get a theme to focus upon. We have a book in the house called An Everyday Book, and it's a book that has every date in the year in it. And in each section, it tells you something that happened on that particular day in history. But we've had it for some time now, and it's getting a bit out of date. And I'd mentioned that to Dorothy. So she immediately went on the net to announce that, oh, wait a minute, says she, next Sunday is a special day about peace in the USA. And at the exact same time as she said that to me, the Festival of Remembrance started on the television. So I felt somebody was guiding me to talking about peace. I should add, though, that a short time later, my wife did say to me, oh, wait a minute, it's not a special day about peace in the USA next Sunday at all. It's Take a Hike Day. Needless to say, I replied to her, well, if that's what it is, today's just Saturday, a week early, but take a hike, right? Peace. What do we really mean by peace? Well, as I said earlier, we tend sometimes to think on peace as what is or is not around us. But other times, peace is what's within us. The dictionary definition of peace reads, noun, one, condition in which there is no war, violence, quarrel, or disorder. Two, quietness. Three, calm. When we look at the news of today, with all the sort of murders, the lack of job security for people, corruption, the moral fabric of society seemingly to be disintegrating, political unrest at various levels, it's almost impossible for us to feel that we can have true peace of mind. What's more, our society makes it difficult for us to have peace in life as we live in such a hectic and complex world where things seem to move so quickly. But Jesus promised that each one of us can experience true peace. Susan read it for us in the reading from John's Gospel. The New Living Translation puts it as, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift that the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. We often talk about keeping the peace, keeping the peace. Two ladies travelling on a train. A gentleman sitting between them. The two women were arguing about whether the window in the carriage should be open or closed. The one furthest from the window claimed that she would die of heat exhaustion if the window wasn't open, while the one closest to the window was arguing that she would die of pneumonia if the window didn't remain closed. When the ticket collector came along, the gentleman stuck between the two ladies asked him for a solution, but he didn't have one. Finally, he spoke up and he said, first open the window, then one of them will die because of heat and the cold. Then close it, and the second one will die because the heat will kill her. Then you'll have peace. But again, what is peace? For many people, their concept of peace is similar to the man in the story, an absence of conflict. However, this falls short of the biblical concept. In Scripture, peace is not the absence of conflict, but rather is the presence of love, generosity, and grace as the transforming principle in our relationships with each other. In other words, peace is a frame of mind that we have when we are right with God. We tend to believe that we can only really have peace if we get rid of all the problems in our life, get rid of the stress, get on top of things. Well, if that's what we think peace is, then sad to say, we ain't gonna get it. One writer summed up peace in life quite nicely for me, because he said that to get peace in life, life is not about how fast you run, or indeed how high you climb, but rather it's about how well you bounce. In life, every path has some puddles, and in life, words that sink into your soul are whispered, not shouted. True peace comes from God. So how do we tap into God's power and experience his peace? Well, we tap into it through reading his word. The word of God is our greatest source of power and our greatest source of strength. We tap also into the power of God through prayer. In James chapter 5, verse 16, we read, "Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." In other words, prayer is the combination that unlocks the door to the riches of a relationship with God. Another way that we can tap into the power of God is through other believers. It's through unity with one another that we can find peace. When we bind together with other fellow Christians, it makes us stronger. And when we're stronger, we can stand up to the world when its problems seem to hit us smack in the face. We do tend to talk about peace as if it's something that happens, especially when conflict and problems are not present. In the passage that we read from Philippians, we again read about God's peace and what it means. Verse 9 reads, "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." I don't think it's a surprise to anyone when we say that the world in which we live is plagued by violence and hatred. There are conflicts and wars all over the world. A statistic that I've quoted before when I've taken a service and came upon again this week is that only 8% of the time since the beginning of recorded history has the world been entirely at peace. And in over 3,100 years, only 286 of those years have been warless, and 8,000 treaties have been broken. How's anybody got that statistic? I don't know, but that's what I read. Jesus himself in Matthew's gospel tells us, you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. That said, he then comforts us in John 16, verse 33, saying, I have told you this so you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. God wants us to have peace. In order to find peace of God in unsettling times, we need, first of all, to put things right with God. We have to gain peace with God. We can't have the peace of God without first having peace with God. Jesus said that we can all be a child of God. All it takes is faith in him. I came across some strategies for living in the peace of God. First one is that we need to understand God is in control from beginning to end. We need to pray about everything is the second one. And as we pray about everything, we should be praying about everything and anything, no matter how silly or insignificant we think the matter might be. There was a humorous story alongside that as an illustration of this. A small boy in a Kentucky church with his parents, and he was being particularly disruptive during the morning service. And father stood it until he could stand it no more, and he picked the boy up, tucked him under his arm, and walked up out the back of the church. Not a person in the church batted an eyelid, but the small boy, as he was being carried up out the aisle, looked at the congregation and shouted in his southern accent, "Y'all pray for me now." Third strategy is that we should live with a biblical mindset. Read and follow the teachings of the Bible. Four, we should live in obedience to God. We enjoy the blessings of God because he gives them to those who obey. And the fifth one is perhaps the simplest and the shortest. Let Jesus lead. Let Jesus lead our life. We need to give Jesus the reins of our lives so that he can teach and guide us. We need to leave our abilities, our futures, and our problems in his hands. We should ask Jesus to replace our worries and our concerns with his peace. Then we can experience the promise of Jesus, as we read in John 17, verse 33. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Amen. We continue singing another song concerning peace. Make me a channel of your peace. Thank you. we continue worshipping God in our offering. Let's come before God again in prayer. Let's pray. Lord God, we present to you our offerings, asking your blessing upon them, that they might be used wisely to further the work of your church and kingdom here in Stevenston and further afield. Father, we live in a time that needs the teaching of the gospel, as at the present time we are living in a world that is increasingly violent and hostile, and nations demonstrate less and less trust and understanding of each other. Even in our own country, there seems to be an increasing number of reports of violence and hatred. We pray then for our country, and especially we pray for the country at this time of general election, and ask that those seeking election, while holding their opinions, will show greater tolerance of opponents with completely the opposite view. Father, today we pray for the ordinary man, woman, and child who need peace in their life. We remember the child who lives in a home where domestic dispute and violence is an almost daily occurrence. We remember all those who feel that they are completely in the depths of despair, as they are the victims of drugs, gambling, human slavery, trafficking, homelessness, or great financial health or financial difficulties. Lord, we ask that you will help each and all in their need. What form that help will take, we don't know, but rather we place our faith and trust in you to direct men, women, and organizations to develop love and support that will offer them peace in their hearts. Lord God, we place before you the needs of those who mourn and ask that they might be given peace as they come to terms with that loss. And we remember their loved ones as they enter into the peace of your presence. Father, we can't let this week pass without offering our prayer for all those who in various parts of the country are the victims of flooding. Be with them in this difficult time and help them find solutions to their problems, as well as peace within their hearts. Lastly, Lord, we pray for ourselves and ask your blessing upon each one of us. Help us, Lord, to work to show your love and peace to everyone that we come into contact with in our daily life. This we again ask in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. We close our worship singing, Let There Be Peace on Earth.
Peace on earth, the peace that was granted.
God, as we go out from this time of worship, we thank you for hearing our prayers, feeding us with your word, and encouraging us in our meeting together. Take us and use us to love and to serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all God's children say,
Amen.
Peace to you.
May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you, wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into